Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He is our friend, Mike DeFabo, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Mike, good morning to you. First of all, the most important question, how is my mom? She's okay?
She was doing very well, yep. We had a nice Easter celebration. She brought her world-famous pizza pie, some of her famous chocolate-covered marshmallow. Really, it was just definitely a big-time Easter for the family, definitely.
Good, good, good. We love her. We love that she listens to our show. Big fan of my mom, and she's a big fan of us. All right, to the Penguins and what you do. Should we all stop worrying now? Was it just six bad periods? Well, four bad periods in six that they played the last game against Boston and the first game against the Rangers. Is there a sigh of relief and just move forward and say, it was just an outlier?
I think at this point you have to have confidence in the team that they're going to get back to the defensive style of hockey that we saw in March. And my big thing here is this. They were literally the best defensive team in March in all of the NHL in terms of goals against average and save percentage. And they were doing it. It wasn't just one hot goalie that was going in there and making a bunch of big saves and stealing games for them. It was no matter which goalie was in net, they were getting a similar performance, which to me tells you it's more about the skaters in front of them and that they were doing things that they've talked about, like, you know, cleaning up the front of the net and protecting the scoring area and limiting the odd man rushes. And so that's why I was willing to maybe have a wait-and-see approach when we saw them give up 15 goals in two games. Like, listen, 15 goals in two games, that's just egregious. You're not going to win any games in the NHL if you do that. And so last night wasn't perfect. They still gave up a fair number of shots from the slot, but they really did a very good job of limiting the odd man rushes. There were only three odd man rushes, according to some stats. And against especially a team like the New York Rangers that does have a lot of speed, does have a lot of skill, and actually wants to get in those kinds of games where they're willing to trade chances, I thought the Penguins did a nice job of basically not taking the bait and instead kind of sitting back and playing their style of hockey. And as a result, they come away with the win, and they got a good feeling after that one.
Mike, do you think Radim Zahorna can fulfill what Hextall and Burke want at the trade deadline?
I asked myself this question at one point last night during the game, because you've heard Ron Hextall say, you know, point blank, we want a big physical forward. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sitting there looking at a 6'6 guy drive to the net and make this pretty move. And I'm thinking, well, there's a big physical forward right there on the ice. And so I guess if I were looking at it, if I'm Ron Hextall, I'd say that's an option for me, but I still try to go get the right guy for the right price. And that's kind of what they've said repeatedly, is they want to go get a forward who maybe can help the bottom six, maybe add a little bit of depth, especially at the center position. But they don't want to give up a bunch of future assets. They don't have very many to begin with, and the ones they do have, they're reluctant to give up. So, you know, I guess in an ideal world, you add somebody that you know is a proven difference maker. Like, okay, we're getting excited about Radim Zahorna, but he still has only played four games in the NHL. You know, maybe this guy comes out of nowhere and becomes a guy who could someday play center for the Penguins in like a bottom six capacity or maybe more. But at the same time, remember how excited we were about Sam Lafferty when he burst onto the scene and scored a couple goals. And then, you know, once that kind of like, you know, you get the beginner's luck. I don't know if I want to call it beginner's luck, but you get a little bit of a spark in your first couple games. Then once you have some success, how can you maintain and sustain that success? And how can you do it game in, game out, and find consistency? And that's going to be the thing with Radim Zahorna. You know, does he come in here and it's just kind of like he scores a couple goals and then kind of fades away? And you say, oh, man, remember that Radim Zahorna guy? Or does he really truly establish himself? And he does have a lot of, you know, physical gifts. Like, he's not just this massive 6'6 guy. He moves well. He has good hands. He's strong on the puck. So, I'm really kind of curious. Mike Sullivan was asked, what do you think this guy's ceiling is? And he just said straight up, I don't know. I mean, how am I supposed to know? We've seen this guy for four games, so we'll kind of see how this evolves and where this goes, but he's certainly making a case, if nothing else, that he should be in the lineup when they get a little bit healthier.
Well, through 82 games, Mike, he'd be a 40-goal scorer, right, at this current pace. You mentioned Sam Lafferty. Now we have – you mentioned Sam Lafferty. Now he is fighting Sam Lafferty. What was going on there?
Yeah, you know, it looked like Lafferty has been known to be a bit of an agitator, and I think that the Rangers kind of weren't too happy about it. So he got challenged, and the first time it didn't really go so well. So the next time what I liked was they really arranged it well, dropped the gloves right off the faceoff. And here's the thing about Lafferty. The Penguins want him to bring some of that. You know, not necessarily dropping the gloves, but they want him to be fast and physical and be kind of that madman on skates. And so for him to drop the gloves, I think kind of falls in line with what they're looking for from him. And I like the fact that now he actually is missing a tooth. He got it fixed. I don't know whether he got it fixed this offseason, but I wish he still had it missing because it would have made him look more like a true hockey madman. And then, but I do appreciate that he grew out the flow because, like, after the fight, he, like, shook his hair around a little bit. It just kind of gives off the whole, like, don't mess with me. I'm the guy that rolled into the biker bar with the long hair and a missing tooth kind of look. So I kind of liked what we saw from Sam Lafferty, but I'm curious to see what he does in this opportunity because they've likened his game often to Brandon Tanev. Every time you talk to Mike Sullivan about him, he always brings up Brandon Tanev. So I don't think it's a coincidence that now with Brandon Tanev out, he's going to be that guy that steps in on the Bluger line and plays that right wing position. So it's a bigger opportunity for him, more expanded role, more prominent minutes. And now it's really an opportunity for a second-year player who's been somewhat up and down to establish himself and prove, once again, when this lineup gets a little healthier, that he's one of the guys that should be one of the top 12 forwards.
Mike DeFabo joining us here, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing, Pittsburgh's leader in trenchless sewer repair. How far away is Gino, do you think? If you were to do a regular timeline on this guy started skating, this is whenever things happen next, this is how it works. How many games do we see Gino before the playoffs, if any at all?
Yeah, you'll see him before the playoffs, I think. I think that everyone's under that assumption. Basically, he started skating this week, and that's really the first step. Typically, the progression is this. You skate individually, then you work in a team setting in a non-contact capacity, then you're cleared for contact, and then you rejoin the team. And that last step, you know, where you're cleared for contact, we saw with Jason Zucker, it was like he practiced once with full contact for the team, and then next game he's out there. And then you see a guy like Teddy Bluger, he's been skating full contact for like 10 days now, I think, and he's still not medically cleared. So it's hard to say once a guy is skating, this is how long it's going to be. But I would say typically, you know, somewhere around 3 weeks from when they two to three weeks from when they start skating individually, that's when you'll see them. So I'd say about, you know, with given the nature of the injury, I'd say maybe 3 weeks from now would be my very rough ballpark estimate. But even the team, I don't think, has a very clear timeline or a specific target date for the return. But if he is back within that time frame, that does mean that you're going to get a little bit of an on-ramp before the playoffs, which is big because, you know, I think that getting Gino back is one thing, but which version of Gino do you get is going to be an even bigger factor for the Penguins.
Pens insider Mike DeFabo with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Once everybody is healthy and back, Mike, what happens to the Zucker, McCann, Gaudreau, second line left wing, maybe third line center shuffle? Because McCann can play either one of those two spots, but both of those other guys are kind of locked into left wing and center respectively, and they both look like they should be getting playing time.
To me, the biggest question is, who do you want to be the third wheel to go along with the Kapanen Malkin tandem? And I think that from there, once you find that answer, then you can kind of start to fill out the rest of your lineup. Because if you still believe that Jason Zucker is the answer there, well, then maybe Jared McCann ends up getting his own line as a center. and maybe the two bottom six centers are McCann and Bluger. Or if you say that McCann did so many good things in his capacity there, and you want to put him there, and also there's reason to believe that maybe Jason Zucker and Malkin don't click as quite as well as they would seem on paper, then you make Jason Zucker a featured piece of his own line, and Jared McCann plays left wing there. Or if you say, we love the chemistry that Evan Rodriguez, Jared McCann, and Jason Zucker have together, let's make that one line, let's make the Bluger another line, and then let's find some kind of a piece that we can plug in to play next to Malkin. And the question I have is, I just don't know if it's not one of those two guys, if it's not Zucker, if it's not McCann playing next to Malkin, I don't know if Evan Rodriguez does enough to prove that he can have another top six role. I don't know who else. That's the big thing is, like, Jim Rutherford went out and acquired top six wingers because they didn't have a lot of guys that were very obvious options there. And he gave up a lot to get guys like Kasperi Kapanen and Jason Zucker, thinking they would be the answer there. So if you don't have McCann there and you don't have Zucker there, I'm not sure which direction you go, but if they feel like they could balance out the lineup and they like the chemistry between those other guys, then maybe they do something like that. And then obviously, like you mentioned, Goudreau's another answer. I wonder whether he'll end up getting an opportunity to center a fourth line. And then obviously if they make a move at the deadline, that could also change some of this calculation. But here's the thing with the Penguins. We always say when they get fully healthy, but when are they ever fully healthy?
Never.
And so I think some of this is going to be dictated just by which guys are healthy at which point. But the good thing is they've got some lineup flexibility, and guys have shown that they could succeed in different kinds of roles.
Yeah, that's great. Real quick before we let you go, thoughts on this Frick Park snake? You've been reading on this at all, Mike?
Well, I have, and here's the thing. I live across the street from Frick Park.
Oh,
so
don't move. Burn yes. It down and move.
See, if you leave it alone, it'll leave you alone. That's my thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to, like I've mentioned to you guys, I've got a dog, so I'm going to have to train him for something, some kind of protection.
Well, he might get trained the hard way, though. I'd be careful, depending on how big this dog is.
Hey,
he might
you tolerate snakes, DeFabo. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Next thing you know, you're going to have giant lizards crawling up your walls like you're living in Bangkok.
Right.
Like that other viral video that's going around. Don't just move. Just
how
move.
Big is
move
your dog? To... How big? What was that dog's name again? I forget. What's his name?
Zeke. He's like 70 Zeke. Pounds. Yep, he's at the kennel right now.
Oh, nice guy you are. You should you should take Zeke over there and see if Zeke can handle his own with this snake, kind of snuff out that snake.
Don't they have like wildlife people and animal people? Can't they go out and find this thing and get it in the Pittsburgh Zoo? Like,
they did. They said it belongs in the wild.
They said
it's native to Frick Park.
It's native. It's just it grew really big. It just got it lives there. They're not going to take it away from its home. That's where it lives, in Frick Park.
Well, we've all put on a couple pounds during the pandemic,
good
so
call.
don't be body shaming this snake, okay? Yes, it's a little bit bigger now, but...
Right. No, I'm with you. It always comes back to fat with the snake. I'm with you. All right. Thank you. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Hey, my pleasure, guys. Good to be on
tell
the show.
Mom, hey, tell Mom bye. Hello. Tell her hello for us.
Well, I'm sure she's listening. So, Mom, I hope you're doing well. Thanks for listening.
Perfect. There it is.
Happy
Mike DeFabo.
Friday, Mom.
His grandmother is just
Thanks
the best.
Thanks for letting Michael join us.
Yes, we love it. And we want one of those marshmallow chocolate treats or whatever. And she makes pizza?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
She's the best.
He's not getting on anymore, Mom. You like your grandson on the radio? Shoot a pizza down here to...
chocolate-covered marshmallows.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.